talk to you about something that has been on my heart over the last week or so. The Lord's been speaking to me. First of all, I want you to know that I don't just come up with messages, and you know, I don't have like a dartboard in my office, you know, and put up different words or different subjects and I throw a dart at it and see which one it hits. You know, I really do pray and seek the Lord to see what He has to say, because anything I say apart from Him really isn't going to be of much value. But everything that is said by Him changes people's hearts, including my own. So I was in a time of prayer about this very thing, asking the Lord, you know, what is it that you want to talk about? And here's what He said to me. He said two things to me. He said, I want you to tell my people about the importance of my words. And I also want you to tell them about the importance of their words. And already, you know, Scripture started to come to mind and began to ruminate on what God was saying with that. But here's the thing. Scripture is very clear about the Word of God and about our words. And so let's go to Scripture for a moment and just have a look here. In Proverbs 18:21, you know, it says this, the New King James Version. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat of its fruit. You know, and that's pretty clear, but I love how the Message Bible puts it. It even puts it even more clearly. It says, words kill. Words give life. They're either poison or fruit. You choose. And so literally, you know, the words that we speak can edify, can build up, can encourage, or they can bring hurt and pain. You know, how many people have heard the saying, you know, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me? How many people have heard that over the years? You might have uttered it as somebody was saying bad things towards you. Well, how'd that work out for you? You know what I'm saying? The words that they said were worse than getting a broken arm or a concussion, because sometimes words that are said can affect you long after an arm is healed. You know what I'm saying? Somebody could have said something to you when you were a little kid, 4 or 5 years old. Something like, you're no good, or you're this, or you're that, or you're not this, or you're not that. And those words are still haunting you today. 30, 40, 50 years later, still impacting you in your life. That's not the way it's supposed to be. And especially for us as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, our words are to bring life and edification, encouragement. In fact, you know, I remember my mom telling me this, and it was a wise saying. So, Mom, if you're watching from Canada, I remember this. It was a good word. You know, if you can't say anything good, what's the last part of that? Don't say anything at all. I remember her telling me that over and over and over again. I have a feeling I said a lot of bad things somewhere along the way. In fact, let me ask you this. How many of you here have had, and again, I'm dating myself. I don't think people do this as much nowadays. At least they're not going to admit it. But maybe when you were younger, how many people have had their mouth washed out with soap? How many have had that happen? I have. How'd that go? How was that experience? Not fun, was it? I tasted soap for a week, I think. And that was, you know, it was horrible. But did it help? It didn't help at all. In fact, all you did was murmur those same words under your breath so nobody could hear, right? But it didn't change anything. Now, here's why. The problem isn't your mouth and my mouth. The problem is our hearts. In fact, Jesus says this right in Scripture in Luke 6. He says it's out of the abundance of the heart that the mouth speaks. And so here's the deal. We don't need soap on our mouths. We need to be washed by the water of the Word of God. That's what Scripture is. And that's in our hearts. That's where the change can happen. It's not our mouths. Our mouths aren't the problem. It's our heart that is the problem. And for us, even as believers in the Lord, you know, I wish that the moment we accept Jesus, that like all the bad stuff is gone. You know, all the bad words, all the bad thoughts. How many people would love to have that happen, right? But the reality of it is, we're a work in progress. In other words, God keeps working with us, and it takes time for all of that to work out. But here's the thing. You and I both want to be a wonderful witness for the Lord, don't we? But how many times does it happen that you go through maybe a difficult situation? Let me give you an example. I'll give you an example from my own life. I remember one day my kids were gathered around me, and I was knocking something in with a hammer, and I was holding the nail with a hammer. You know where I'm going with this, right? And I missed the nail and hit my thumb. Okay, I had what I will call a blackout moment. All I know is that when I was done my blackout moment and looked up, my kids' jaws were all... And I know that I must have said something that was not good. And so I said, look, kids, I don't even know what I said, but I want to apologize. And they said, Dad, it was bad. I'm like, I don't even remember. How many people have had that where literally, you know, it just comes out. It just comes out. Now, here's the reality of it. God wants us to eventually even lose those blackout moments where we default, you know, when we're hurt, when somebody says something against us and we just, you know, back with that sharp word back. That's not what God has called you and I to do. And so God wants us to work through these things so that we no longer have those kind of moments where we don't think, but we just speak. And those words, instead of bringing life that God has called us to bring to the world around us, is bringing death, destruction, and hurt. You know, when we're parents of families, we have to be so careful what we say to our young children. You know, sometimes even in jest or in joking, those short little phrases, just those little comments, you know, and you're like, well, I just need to tell them. Did you? Did you really need to say that? Because those words are little seeds that get planted in little hearts that will eventually grow. And are those words bringing life, or are they bringing death and destruction? And God has called us to bring life. In fact, let's talk about God for a minute. You know, He is the bringer of life, isn't He? In fact, you look back in Genesis and you see when it said He spoke. In other words, He spoke words. And what happened? He saw. In other words, it came into existence. And then, you know what He said after that? It's good. In fact, it would say, create this. He saw it. It's good. Over and over and over again. And here's the thing. If we're called to be in the image and likeness of our Father, then when we speak, we should see, and what we see should be good. That's the way it should be. And if that's not the equation you're having in your life, then maybe you need to take a look at the words you're saying. But more importantly, you need to look at your heart, where those words are coming from. And I believe that God wants to help us today. In fact, you know, the series that we've started, we're starting right now, is called Life Words. The idea is that the words that we speak are to bring life. Everywhere Jesus went, He brought life, didn't He? You know, in fact, if there were dead people, what did He do? He brought them back to life, literally, right? If somebody was hurt or needed healing, what did He do? He healed them. If someone was going through a difficult time, He brought hope. In fact, everywhere He went, life followed Him. And literally, that's how it should be for you and I. We go to our jobs. We should be bringing life into that circumstance. You might say, well, you don't know my boss. No, I don't, but God does. And He brought you to that boss, and He'll give you the strength to be an overcomer in that situation. But you can't just be reactionary wherever you go. That's not our job. Our job is to go as ambassadors and representatives of the Lord Jesus Christ, to bring words of life and edification and build up people. You know, hurt people say hurtful things. But God's called you and I not to walk in the hurt of our past, but to walk in the healing that's been purchased for us on the cross of Calvary. And it's a choice. In fact, I just read the scripture from Proverbs 18:21. It says, you choose. That's one of the things. You know, God's word is secure, it's solid, but you and I choose whether we're going to bring life or death to every circumstance. What about your own life? How do you speak over your own life? Listen, I'm on Facebook. I see some of you. I can't help it. You know what I'm saying? You're there, boom, you know, in my face with words. Are those words bringing life? Let me tell you what I do, and this is no offense to anyone, but if your words aren't bringing life and edification, I put you to sleep. I'm like, poop, I don't need to see that. So I'm sorry if that's you and you're just putting those kinds of words out. I don't want that seed coming into my life. I don't need it. I want encouragement. I want uplifting. I want building up. And then so often I hear somebody, maybe even you're thinking, but you don't know what's... That's irrelevant. Look at Jesus. He was persecuted. Most people hated Him to such a point where they put Him on a cross, and yet He did it for you and I. And here's the thing. If your eyes are on your circumstances, then you are going to say bad words. You're going to think bad things. But if your eyes are upon your Savior, upon the Lord Jesus Christ, in fact, the scripture says this, lift up your eyes and see where your salvation comes from. But if you're down here looking at your circumstances and situations, then your thoughts are going to be all the things of this world. Lift up your eyes. Your salvation draweth nigh. And that word salvation means being saved from whatever you need saved from. Anybody need saved from things? Sure, we all do. We got circumstances. We got families. We got jobs. We got school. The list goes on and on of all the problems that we could talk about, all the words we could say about it. But how about this, that I have victory in Christ Jesus? You know, begin to confess the words of the scriptures over your circumstances rather than the circumstances. Why do you need to talk about them? It is what it is. So let's talk and speak words of the solution to those circumstances. That's what God has called you and I to do. And so with that in mind, I want to go to the parable of parables. In fact, Jesus said this to His disciples in Mark. This particular parable is in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. We're going to be looking at it in Luke. But in Mark, here's what he said to his disciples. If you don't understand this parable, you can't understand any of them. So this is like the foundational parable of all parables. So if we can get this today, then this will help you in your word of life walk. Amen? So if you have your Bibles, your apps, however you want to get there, Luke chapter 8. I'm going to talk to you about the sower and the seed and the soil. Luke chapter 8, beginning in verse 4. And when a great multitude had gathered, and they had come to him, to Jesus, from every city, he spoke by a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trampled down, and the birds of the air devoured it. Some fell on the rock, and as soon as it sprang up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. But others fell on good ground, sprang up, and yielded a crop, 100-fold. When Jesus had said these things, he cried, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Verse 9. Then the disciples asked Jesus, saying, "What does this parable mean?" And he said, "To you it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to the rest it is given in parables, that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand." Verse 11. Now this is Jesus speaking. He says this. Now the parable is this. So he literally interprets his parable for the disciples and for you and I today. The seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are the ones who hear. Then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. But the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy. And these have no root, who believe for a while, and in a time of temptation, fall away. Now the ones that fell among thorns are those who, when they have heard, go out and are choked with the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and bring no fruit to maturity. Verse 15. But the ones that fell on the good ground are those who have heard the word, and with a noble and good heart keep it and bear fruit with patience. This is an amazing parable. In fact, it's one of the only ones that Jesus actually interprets. So, you know, so many theologians spend time trying to figure out what parables mean and all that. Here Jesus spells it out. It makes it so, so clear. But I want to talk to you about it in a little different perspective than I have in the past. Let's talk about the sower, because Jesus in verse 11 makes it very clear. He says, "The Father is the sower. My Father is the sower of the seed." And so let's talk about that for a minute. It says that he scattered the seed, and it went everywhere, right? It went on the hard path, it went on the rocky ground, the thorny ground, and the good soil as well. So here's the thing. He was indiscriminate about sowing his seed. You might say, well, that's a waste. You know, why doesn't God just put it into good soil only? He'd use less seed. And here's the deal. First of all, there's no limit to God's ability to sow seed. The other thing is, I don't know about you, but I was going to speak in myself. I don't have all good soil down in here still. After 35 years, I still got some rocky ground. I still got some thorny ground. I still have some hard-packed ground. I am certainly glad that God is still sowing seed, and it's going everywhere, all right? And I think for most of you, you would agree with me, all right? And so here's the deal. He's indiscriminate, and that means the seed is the same for each and every one of us. Isn't that good to know? You know, I know there are some that say, you know, I'm special. Listen, we're all special, okay? We're all special. And the point is, the seed is spread to all of us, so we have equal access to the goodness and the things that God has for us. I think that's a good thing to know, right, about the sower. And then that sower is always wanting to encourage us. And you might say, well, look, you know, I'm talking about God the Father as a sower. Where's some scriptural support for this? So let me give that to you. It's in Isaiah chapter 55, verse 10. Says this, and this is the Lord speaking. "For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth, and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it." So here we have in verse 10, he's talking about seed for the sower and bread to the eater. Now, as you look at this, it's kind of like old King James, is a little bit, you know, strange wording. But he's making a comparison here. First of all, he's talking about seed to the sower. And here's the thing. He's giving seed to us all the time. So he's giving seed to the sower for what purpose? bread to the eater. In other words, God doesn't want you just to have knowledge of the Bible. He doesn't want you just to have the seed of Scripture inside of you. It's for a purpose. So why would a farmer plant seed? What's he doing? He's looking for harvest, right? So if he's planting wheat, for example, he's going to grind that up into flour and make bread. And that's the example we have here. So in other words, the seed has a purpose. This is so important. You know, it's not about head knowledge. It's not about just getting God's word in and in and in and in. It's always for a purpose. It's to bring health to you, bring nutrients to you, spiritually speaking. It's bring life to your life. That's what God wants. God does not want you and I as Christians walking through this life saying, okay, I'm just holding on till Jesus comes back or I die and go to heaven. You know, I'm just holding on. Oh, Jesus, you're so faithful. And meanwhile, your life is in shambles. Nothing's going right. That's not the best that God has for you. As you are walking with Him and allowing His seed to be planted in you, and you walk in His principles and His promises, instead of just surviving, you will thrive in this life. You know, what kind of an example do you want to leave to the world around you? Yes, Jesus loves you, but He's not going to help you in life. You know, you just, you know, how's that going to work for you? Anybody listening to you is going to say, what's that going to do for me? But if you can not just tell them, but live it, that as you're allowing God's seed to come in and you're letting it come to fruition and you're living and experiencing the goodness of God, you don't even have to say anything sometimes. You know, over the years, I've had people come up and say, look, you got something I don't have. You know, what's the secret? You know, what's the secret sauce you've got? And I say, no secret sauce, but it's Jesus. Let me tell you about Him. Let me tell you what happened in my life. See, that's how it's supposed to work. So here's the deal. You can't share something you don't have. And so don't do it. Don't try to do it. That's what God's called you and I to do. We're to share what we've experienced. And as you experience the seed of salvation, which is the most important seed of all, right? For God so loved the world that He what? Gave His Son. He planted His Son into the entire world. Whoever believes in that seed, in that Son, would not perish but have everlasting life. It's the most important seed of all. As you've experienced that, now you then can tell others about that experience and say, let me tell you about the seed of salvation. Let me tell you what Jesus has done for me. And then as He's done other things in your life, you can share those truths as well. But you can't share what you don't have. You can't. But as you share out of your experience, man, it changes you and it changes them as well. So the sower is so, so important, and the sower is good. He sowed, He said, let there be light. He saw it, and He said, it was good. And that's what God wants to do in your life and in mine. He, just as He sowed to make the world and all of creation, He wants to keep sowing His words into your life and in mine this very day. That's why I'm here talking to you about this. So let's go on and talk about the seed a little bit now. We've talked about the sower. What about the seed? Well, in John 1, verse 1, says this, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him. And without Him, nothing was made that was made. So we see here that in the very beginning, as part of creation, a guy, He was there. So who's this He? He was with God. He was with God. So let's look at verse 14 of the same chapter. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory is the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Who are we talking about here? Jesus. He's the only one that's ever happened to. So a lot of people, even Christians, think, well, Jesus was born in a manger in Bethlehem, which is true. But that wasn't His beginning of His existence. Jesus always was. And again, this can get a little confusing. You know, we have God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Okay, do I pray to the Holy Spirit and leave Jesus out? Do I pray to Jesus, leave the Father out and the Holy Spirit? Yeah, this gets so, so confusing. Here's the thing. We only worship and love one God, but shown in three different facets, three different ways, through the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit to help us understand God, who He is, His nature. The only way I can liken it, now again, theologians do all kinds of jump through hoops and that. Can I just help you in a simple way that's helped me? All right, look at it this way. It's like water. Now you can have three forms of water, can't you? You can have ice, you can have liquid water, and you can have the humidity we're dealing with right now. All right, in other words, it's just in the air. And yet they're all the same. In other words, if you take what's humid and you cooled this air in here even more, it would turn into a liquid. If you cooled it even more, it'd become ice. The point is, it's the same thing. So it helps you understand. And it's the same with God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. They have three different aspects to them, but they're exactly the same. In fact, Jesus said this, I do nothing apart from my Father's will. And in the Gospel of John, Jesus said this, that when you invite me in, my Father and the Holy Spirit will come and live with me. So you can say this, I have Jesus in my heart. You can say I have God in my heart. And you say I have the Holy Spirit in my heart. And not be wrong with any one of those statements. Amen? So hopefully that brings clarification. But here, let me go back to this. So Jesus is the living word or the living seed. So basically whatever he said, he's saying what his Father has told him to say. So as we read the scriptures and we read what he says, that is seed that he wants to sow into your heart and into my heart. So here's the situation. There's competition for your heart, isn't there? In fact, Jesus talks about that. He talked about the hard-packed ground. So what does that mean? Let me tell you what that means. It means somewhere along the way, maybe numerous times, somebody said something, did something, and it hurt you, and you said, never again. Heart closed. And you just said, I'm not going to let that happen. And then God comes along in your life, and he wants to give you good things. He wants to bless you, and you're like, no, I just can't deal with this. Well, that's in the scriptures. It talks about that. Here's the deal. You've got to come to a place of opening up your heart to the Lord. I've walked with him a long time, and others have walked even longer that are sitting here right now. He will never hurt you. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. I know that you may have a sad story of somebody did something or didn't do something, and I'm sorry that that happened, but that's not the God the Father I know from heaven. You hear where I'm going with this? You need to believe that. And then there's other competition. So you have the competition of people who've hurt you. You go on and talk about the rocky soil, and that's the temptations of life. How many people know there's a lot of temptations out there? All kinds of temptations to draw us away from the seed of God's word. And then it goes on and talks about the thorns that choke out the word that's in our lives. And what is that? That's the cares and the desires and the pleasures of this world, right? And the riches of this world, it says. And so we have to come to a place of realizing that these things are vying for our attention. But all those things that I've just talked about are just in this life. They come and they go. But the seed of God's word is eternal. And so you're at a place in your life, and I am in mine, every single day. Do I do this, which is temporary, not long-lasting, will bring no fulfillment really when it's all over, or do I do this, which is God's word, which leads to eternal life and blessings way beyond this life? And so we have to choose. Now, I wish I could say that we have four categories here, right? You've got the hard soil, you got the hard-hearted people, you got the rocky people, you got the thorny people, and you've got the good people, you know, the good soil people. Here's the reality of it. It isn't that way. As I look at my life, I see hard parts, I see rocky parts, I see thorny parts, and I see some good parts too. How many people would agree that that's probably a good description of your life? In other words, that's just the way it is. And so this scripture, this parable I'm telling you, applies to each and every one of us. The question is that when the seed of God's word comes in, are you willing to let him speak to you? Let me just share this scripture in closing. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. They'll put it up. For the word of God is living and powerful. Some versions say alive and active. Sharper than any two-edged sword. Piercing even to the division of soul and spirit. And of joints and marrow. Is the discerner of the thoughts and intent. Some versions say thoughts and attitudes of the heart. You see, the word of God, the seed of God's word, is a mirror to the soul. And as we read it, that's why many of us don't like to read the Bible, because it scares us. It reflects who we really are. And we're like, whoa, I don't like this. This is not a nice picture. But here's the reality of it. God doesn't do it to make you feel bad. He does it so you can see you for who you truly are, so you can get help. See, again, what's God always wanting to do? Bring life. Bring good things into your life. So the thing is that though it may hurt at that moment, it's to take the hurt away and bring relief and bring healing to your life. So are you willing to let him do that? It's hard. If it was easy, everybody'd be doing it. You know what I'm saying? But the thing is, if you're willing to come to a place of letting him, the Word of God can change your life. Father, I thank you for every person here. And Lord, each one of us are in different places in our spiritual journey. Some of us are dealing with some hard areas in our life. Some of us are dealing with the rocks of temptations. Whereas others, we've got caught up in the cares and the riches and the pleasures of this life way beyond what we've been called to. And so it's distracted us and kept us from what you're calling us to do, the eternal things. And then, Lord, for some of us, we've got some good soil and your seed is growing and multiplying and we're eating the fruit of it. And it's awesome. Lord God, I pray, Lord, as Scripture says, that we can taste and see that the Lord is good, that we would allow that seed to grow, that with faith and patience we would receive your promises, that we wouldn't get turned away because it's not happening fast enough, or we're not changing fast enough, or this isn't happening, or that's not happening, that we come to a place, Lord, of surrendering to you, knowing that you are a good sower and that you're sowing good seed. And all we have to do is open up the soil of our hearts, the seed bed of our hearts, to allow you to do what you do best, love on us. And Lord, if there's anyone here, either watching or sitting here, that has not made that decision to let the seed of salvation germinate in their hearts, that at this very moment, they would just ask you to come in, that they would turn their lives over to you at this very moment and become born again, and then be able to walk with all the other seeds of truth that you have. It all has to begin with the seed of salvation before any other seed can be planted. Lord, I thank you for those watching. I thank you for those that are here right now. Bless them as your seed, the words of your truth, transform them into the image of who you are. Just thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.